We're going to look at two portions of Scripture tonight. The first one, a familiar, very familiar one, in Matthew chapter 6, verses 9 through 13. And then we'll turn to Isaiah chapter 6. Matthew 6, verses 9 through 13. Isaiah 6, verses 1 through 5. I have to remember that often the reason why the Lord would call out Abraham, Abraham, is a scriptural reference for me to be able to make sure that I say the scripture reference twice, so that we don't have to say, honey, what portion did he say? That's okay, brother. I do that all the time, and I'm preaching. What scripture are we in? Matthew chapter 6, verses 9 through 13. Verse 9, after this manner therefore pray ye, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. And let us turn back to Isaiah chapter 6. You won't have to keep your place in Matthew. I know that nearly everyone, if not everyone altogether, have that memorized. But we'll park at Isaiah 6 for a moment. And we'll just read verses 1 through 5. Isaiah chapter 6, verses 1 through 5. Verse 1, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims, each one had six wings, with twain he covered his face, and with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. And one cried unto another, and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts, the whole earth is full of his glory. And the posts of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Then said I, Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. The Lord will most certainly add his abundant blessing to the reading of his holy truth. And let's pray. Blessed Heavenly Father, gracious Lord, God of all creation, we come before you in the name of Jesus, before the holy name of Jesus, before your holy name. And we thank you, Father, for the portions that we've read. And we pray, Lord God, that as we meet you in reverence tonight as a congregation to lift up prayers to you, petitions, requests, thanksgivings, and with every supplication that is right down to the depth of our being, because you have granted us blessed access to you, reconciled us with a relationship with you by the precious blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. What precious, what blessed, what amazing access that you've given us. And we ask you, Father, to minister unto our hearts through your word, that we may, as a congregation, be in one accord with one voice and one mind to come into thy presence and to seek after thy will and thy will alone. We love you, Lord, and thank you so much for this time that we can gather together in Jesus' holy name. Amen. Isaiah was such a blessed passage here in Isaiah 6, and we understand that Isaiah had been ministering for a while. We're into six chapters, and the downfall of Judah was such that in chapter 1, all their worship needed to be rebuked, interestingly. And so by chapter 6, with this righteous king Uzziah, and in his death, Isaiah sees the Lord high and lifted up. And we won't go into a great deal of commentary there, because we are speaking about prayer. We have looked at the Lord's Prayer. We saw that we have a Heavenly Father and a relationship with Him. But Isaiah's comments here in this portion of the prophecy, and then him seeing our Lord high and lifted up, and the seraphim surrounding the very presence of God, crying one to another in verse 3, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of His glory." And just the majesty of the presentation of this passage of Scripture, there is no doubt to the spiritual mind, or even he who is on the border of his spirituality, nearly falling off, as it were, in backsliddenness, there is no doubt, even to such a one, that this is a passage of holiness unto the Lord. This is a passage that speaks of the Lord Jesus, the Christ of God, the Lord, high and lifted up, even before His incarnation, even before His exaltation. So a prophetic moment here. But we see the holiness of God, an incredible thing. And as we have been looking, and in preparation, as we've been taking our portions and looking at them before we go into our prayer for this, just this season anyway, we're taking these portions in order from the Lord's or the disciples' prayer in Luke 11 and also in Matthew 6, so that we can understand a bit of how we are supposed to pray as the Lord's disciples. And as we looked at last time, that though we have access to our Heavenly Father, according to Romans chapter 5 and verse 2 and Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 18, and though we have been reconciled unto this God who has justified sinners by saving faith in Jesus Christ, according to Romans 5 and verse 10, we're reconciled. And so we not only have access, but we have a relationship, and we know Him as Father. And with this distinct relationship as Father in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 9, as we read, and also Romans chapter 8 and verse 14 through 16, as we looked at last week, we also recognize, we must recognize that He is a holy God, a holy Heavenly Father. And as only mentioned briefly last week, that though hanging around with Dad in the garage is something, but as a little guy, I had a respect for my Dad. Not just a fear and trembling, because if I messed up, I would get the woodshed for sure. Yeah, that stuff was there, but there was a reverence. Though he was my Dad, there was a boundary that was placed there, and this is even an unsaved folks. He was unsaved, I was unsaved. But there was still a recognition that there was a boundary that you didn't cross. You didn't get over familiar. And we must always remember that we, as we come into the presence of a holy God, that He is holy. And besides Him, there is no God, as the Scriptures say. He is a holy Father. And besides Him, there is no other. And since we are not yet glorified, we have a natural inclination toward dishonoring God through an overly familiar, even overly casual sense of this presence that we can enter into. Even flippant behavior sometimes before the only wise God, who is holy and infinitely transcendent. And I believe that as the Lord teaches us to pray that right off, "Our Father which art in heaven," that we have a Heavenly Father that is hallowed. Hallowed be Thy name. It starts right off at the very beginning to understand that He is holy, because that though we are saved, there is an inclination towards the world. There is an inclination towards the flesh. And there is an easy time in prayer sometimes to just become flesh and to forget the reverence of God. He is approachable, yes, but not disrespectable. We should not be in a position of disrespect, though He is approachable. Jesus, in these days, who having a name above all names, according to Acts chapter 4 and verse 12, that there is salvation in no other name except the name of Jesus Christ, according to Acts chapter 4 and verse 10, that He has become to many people a homeboy, or God, the Father, has become the big guy upstairs, and it almost carries with it a very tone of disrespect. Even saying it to me almost causes me to want to cringe to say such things about a holy Heavenly Father, someone who is good and so transcendently good that to say such things almost, it doesn't make Him less holy. It won't remove the holiness of God, but it seems to bring us down and drag us down and show what kind of people that we truly are when we take a Father, a holy Father like that, and treat Him with such flippancy. Crossing the borders, you know, and it's easy to do because, you know, Simon Peter, you know, you look at it in Luke chapter 5 when he was called, probably, I believe, the second time in Luke 5. First he was, you know, he met him at the beginning of his ministry. Andrew introduces him, but then in Matthew chapter 5, he's called and they left their nets. But in Luke 5, it's, you know, they go back to Capernaum and then Jesus says, okay, now it's time. Follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. And in Luke 5, they left all, it says in Luke 5. And this time, they continued the rest of the Lord's ministry with Him. And so here's Peter. Remember that when Jesus was preaching and they pushed out, now let out for a draught. And when the draught, the fish came up at a miraculous time in the morning when there shouldn't have been fish in the deep. He says, he falls to his knees and says, depart from me, Lord, for I'm a wicked man. I'm an evil sinner. Depart from me, Lord. Here's the reference. But it's not a long ways off that in Matthew 16, is we didn't touch on it completely, but I got a visit from a dear friend and he read to Lisa and I Matthew 16 and we were blessed to look at that. But it wasn't a far cry from Lord, depart from me to Peter saying be it far from thee, Lord, in Matthew 16, when Jesus said, I'm going to the cross. He's rebuking the Lord. First, he's, depart from me, Lord, because I'm sinful. Then he's rebuking the Lord in Matthew 16. And it isn't far until Luke 22, when he's actually denying the Lord and saying, woman, I know him not. So you see, here is a person that's traveling along with Jesus. And though we do not see Him, we love Him because the Spirit ministers unto us. But since we still have that propensity towards sin because of the flesh, we need to recognize that we have a holy Heavenly Father because we can stray just as easily, and in fact, probably even more so. When we lose sight of God's holiness, we cannot pray, Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done, as a petition. And we would be offering nothing more than a hypocritical lip service as a declaration if we didn't go before the Lord in holiness and reverence. And it's not, as I mentioned briefly, it's not for his benefit. It doesn't make God less holy to recognize Him as holy. Not to recognize Him as holy. It won't make God less holy. God is holy. It's for our benefit to recognize the blessedness of the holiness of God. Leviticus 22 and verse 32. If you're a note taker, you might want to take that down because you don't have to turn there. But Leviticus 22 and verse 32, it says, neither shall you profane my holy name, he says to the children of Israel. Neither shall you profane my holy name, but I will be hallowed among the children of Israel. I am the Lord which hallow you. And the word in Hebrew, which means which hallow you, it's a singular word, but it literally means the source of your holiness. It uses one Hebrew letter, mem, in front of the word holy to make it the source of your holiness. And so the first thing we need to recognize when we're calling out to a Heavenly Father is that He is the source of our holiness, and that's what makes us holy. Being near to this Father that we've been given access to, that we've been reconciled with, and have audience before. We have holiness before us, and then therefore holiness is reflected upon us, and by the power of the truth of God, we're brought into holiness, being changed into becoming holy. And that's the power of God. And in fact, the almost a new creation that is being recreated in us, in a sense, as we're being transformed, it goes all the way back to what we can see in Genesis 1, because God is light and in Him is no darkness. And as in Genesis 1, verse 3, He said, light be, and then light became, light is. But he wasn't saying that that light is him. He was making a reflection of that light. And then he put the sun and the moon and the stars, and those were light bearers too. Sources of light, but basically only a reflection of him. And then that's what we have. We become a reflection of the holiness of God, just as we were made in his image, a reflection of the image of God. And then therefore, the holiness is the reflection of the holiness of God. Bless you. I'm going to turn to 1 Peter chapter 1 and verses 13 to 16. Leviticus 22:32. That word is makadeshkem, if you. There's one singular word, which hallow you. Leviticus 22, verse 32. The source of our holiness. And in 1 Peter chapter 13 and verse 16, 1 Peter 13 verse 16. I'm sorry, I just can't help but to chuckle. I want to go, bad hand, bad ALS. You're not doing what I want you to do, but I need to be holy, and I need to be as God would do this. Because of the frailty of my flesh, I would not want to do that bad hand thing. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 13 to 16. I know you're familiar with the passage. I just think it would be great to close with this in our devotion, and then look at some of the repercussions and some of the takeaways for this. Now, verse 13 in 1 Peter 1, it says, wherefore gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Because it is written, verse 16, be ye holy, for I am holy. Here, clearly, in verses 13 through 16, and especially verses 13 to 14, there is a scriptural reference here, in fact, even a command, gird up the loins of your mind to be sober and hope to the end of grace and revelation of Jesus Christ, be as obedient children in verse 14, fashioning yourselves not after the former lust, that there is a command for holy living right here in the passage of Scripture. Why? Because there will be no holy living if there is no holy reverence for God, because if there's no holy perspective of God and His work through Jesus Christ and the cross, we will not be this way. He is holy, and as He is the source of holiness and we draw nearer to Him, we draw nearer to Him as we realize from some of our lessons in Romans that it is that what we have and who we are flows, is found in the cross, flows from the cross, and flourishes by the cross. And so being at the cross of Jesus Christ gives us a perspective of the holiness of the work of God and the person of God in Christ Jesus. It gives us a perspective of the holiness of the triune God altogether. And then it brings to us a desire now to live holy before Him as is pleasing to Him, because we see not only what He has done, but who He is. And when the cross of Jesus Christ, when we are justified by His grace through faith, and we see it as the holy thing for what it is, then it ought to be a holy thing in our lives. Then we see the truth of God and that He is holy, and then we see the power of God in our lives to make us holy people. So it is at the cross where we get where we gain the greatest view of the holiness of God, that the Holy Spirit, I believe, brings us to the cross, and by the power of the Holy Spirit keeps us at the cross so that we can see the holiness of God. And there at our prayers, when we're reminded of the precious blood, when we're reminded of the substitutionary sacrifice, then we see God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit as so holy. And then our desire, our movement towards the cross and in all areas of our life would be in holiness. So that we have not only, we have reverence, but we have a relationship. And it becomes even more loving and more special. And it transforms us so that as they work separately in some respects, they actually go hand in hand and are combined so that we become a very unique people brought forth in the holiness of God. And just in that portion of the prayer. And that's a perspective that I pray that we have tonight. Perhaps next week we might review the petitions that we've had, because we've had a few weeks now that we're just concentrating on this and seeking after the presence of God, but now understanding His holiness. And then next time, if the Lord willing, we see hallowed be Thy name, Thy kingdom come and Thy will be done, seeing God's will next time in this prayer, it might be a good opportunity to take those requests and run them over, what we have as a congregation, and then say, Lord, here's all our requests, but we still want to pray according to Your will. Now, I know I've kind of jumped ahead, but there's an expectation there. And our prayer isn't a whole thing. We don't just take bits and pieces. I know that, and you know that. So, that is our bit of a devotion. I know that it seems a little short as a devotion. It's not very inclusive. It's not exhaustive, and it's not expositional verse by verse. But there's a lot there. The holiness of God is infinite. And for me to just go on and on and drone on and on about it, like the Puritans often do. I remember, I'm paraphrasing the quote because I think it was done in Latin and also in French, of John Calvin. He would talk about philosophers and the good philosophers, people that wanted to do morally good. But he said that they would go on and on, and if they were talking about God, all their talk would never come to satisfy that which is God, because God's infinite. And John Calvin was a pretty astute guy to notice that. And so for me to go on and on about the holiness of God would cause, there's not enough time in this time capsule. And once we get into eternity, we won't even exhaust it. So I'm not upset about it. I pray that we will be able to reflect upon the holiness of God always. And having to be able to take a point in time tonight to just reflect upon it and to recognize the holiness of God is a good thing. Let's go before our Lord before we break out into our groups to go before a holy God. Heavenly Father, Thou art holy. We pray, Father, that because You are holy, that there will be holiness in the pulpits. And here, ironically, I end up coming off a little bit flippantly on the ALS because I couldn't turn the page. How illustrative that is, how much of an illustration that is that we are in the flesh, Lord. But I pray, Father, that forgive me, that I be not in the flesh, from the pulpit, that I be in the Spirit, and that I be holy so that, as a part of the body, that I would not bring unholiness to Your body, this congregation. I thank You, Father, that I may be transparent before Your people and before You. But I thank You, Lord, that You are holy, that You are God, and that even in Your holiness, You show great, great compassion and grace, which is evident through Jesus Christ upon the cross. We love You and thank You. In Jesus' name, amen.